We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's start with Barry.
Yeah, Barry. We've been noticing this showing up in the models actually going back almost 8 days now. So it's been impressive to see how well our longer range models have picked up on Barry. You know, in the overnight hours, really started to see a little bit more organization out of this tropical system. But the big story is, where is its path going to go and how strong will it be? I'll be honest with you, I don't really care too much about its wind speed strength for almost anybody, even those that live along the coast. It's going to be more of a story of its rainfall. And as Barry goes north, it's going to hit somewhere right there on the southern Louisiana border. The right-hand side of it's going to go right over the top of New Orleans, causing some major problems. Those winds are going to be pushing against the Mississippi River. You add that to the potential of 20 plus inches of rain, and we're in some pretty serious trouble down there in the Delta. Well, that storm system right now, as it moves north, is going to interact with a front that's kind of draped kind of through the Ohio River Valley. It snakes down into the lower Mississippi River Valley. And that, combined with a few other features in the mid and upper levels of the atmosphere, probably going to take the path of Barry straight up towards southern Illinois. They make a hard right turn, a hard turn to the east, and go over Tennessee and Kentucky, which means we here in Illinois, we might get some of the cloud cover out of Barry, but each day that I get a new forecast out from our global models, it looks as though getting rain from that particular system is diminishing with every new forecast. So that's a big change over what we saw just 3, 4, 5 days ago, when it looked as though Barry was going to go quickly into Texas, then turn north, which would have given us a lot more rain. And to be honest, I'm looking at my yard right now, and I see some cracks showing up here. We need some rainfall. It's so weird to say that, but that's how it works, right? You got to have the readily available, you know, regular rainfall to really get a crop to be huge and keep my grass green. But certainly, it's right now. All hopes are on Barry, and Barry's going to turn to the right before it gets too far to the north.
Well, what does the pattern look like?
Well, the problem is, you know, if you would have called me, you know, middle of last week, I would have told you an entirely different story, to be honest with you. I would have said, yeah, the heat's around. The heat's going to last probably until about, you know, the 17th, 18th, and then we're going to go back over to a much more normal pattern. Well, things have evolved rapidly over the last few days, especially over this week, and it's pointing more toward a ridging event. A large, broad ridge that's going to set up across the midsection of the United States. Now, the thing with that is that puts more rain north. That puts rain that puts those ridge riders in the north central plains and in southern Canada going into the Great Lakes states, not ours, but the ones like northern Wisconsin and Michigan. And the problem with that pattern is we're only going to get hit or miss showers and thunderstorms out of it. So it's going to be very, very hot compared to average. Remember, this is the hottest time of year climatologically. So it looks as though that might hang on. Maybe, I mean, this morning when I looked at the latest model runs, it may be around until July 27th, 28th. And when you look out that far, we got to remember there's still a lot of uncertainty as to whether or not we can keep this pattern going for the heat, even into the first week of August. And since we're so delayed in pollination, that's that time period now where we're starting to get concerned that there'll be some stress from heat and dryness when the crop's trying to pollinate.
Can you predict when this heat might abate?
Well, that's the tricky part. What we lost was we lost what we call the base state of El Nino. Now, what does that mean? Well, we did have this weak El Nino event going on in the Pacific. And while it's there, it tends to keep the atmospheric motion fast. We tend to get quicker moving systems. We tend to get more rainfall. And we tend to see less extreme heat in the midsection of the country. Now, the correlations are weak between El Nino and our weather, but the correlation between our weather and the whole of the Pacific is much higher. We've lost that base state of El Nino right now, which means that the atmosphere is no longer behaving the way it would as if we had that El Nino event. And what that means is much longer waves in the flow of the atmosphere, and they tend to be much, much, much slower. So the end result of whatever I just said there to you is this. Patterns are going to tend to become more blocked with time than they would have had we hung on to that El Nino event. And that is key to any long-range forecasting. But I'll tell you, anybody that tries to forecast in the beginning of August right now, if they express any sort of certainty in it, they're blowing smoke. I promise you, it's a tricky, tricky forecast.
And what about the new long-range forecasts?
Yeah, well, the big thing we can say about them is that we have seen a trend toward August and September and October, that time period. Actually, the models keep showing up a little bit warmer. So they had initially showed the middle part of the country being cool through the remainder of summer and early fall. We had all these discussions, you and I, about, whoa, if this crop doesn't mature, if we don't get some heat, we're in trouble. And there was all this concern about early frost. Well, that concern has not completely gone away. Okay, that hasn't gone away. But what has gone away is the models staying on that cooler bias. They've now moderated some, and you can actually look at them and say, wow, they're actually forecasting a much more normal progression through the rest of the year than they had been before, which was showing cool. So that's a big change for these longer range models.
Any more reason to discuss El Nino?
Well, I mean, just like we said, the El Nino event that is fading, if it goes over into La Nina for this upcoming winter, which is a possibility, that is certainly something that I'm concerned about, not for us, but for South America. It's been a while since South America's taken a big hit, the whole of it, you know, taken a big hit from an event like a big La Nina year. So we need to watch that carefully as the rest of summer goes on and as the rest of fall and winter get here, because that could be huge for them. The other thing is, if we continue to lose, that base state of El Nino, that gives us a better chance of getting more tropical activity out of the Atlantic because it lessens wind shear. So there's a lot of us right now talking a lot about what's going on with that El Nino event and how it is fading. You got a good question there.
Anything to watch from Europe to China?
Well, when we think about Europe, much of Europe is dry right now. So in other words, when we look forward, it's only been in the southern parts of Europe. I'm talking like Italy, far south. They've seen a lot of severe weather. Much of the rest of the European area has been on a drier bias and is forecast to continue to stay dry. There's some pockets of heavy rain, but not much. Come over to Ukraine, much closer to normal precipitation. Russian wheat belt, much closer to normal precipitation. They have a broader trough in that area, which is keeping them from extreme heat. But get over into India. The monsoon has slowed down, which means southern two-thirds of that subcontinent there is very, very dry compared to normal for this time of year. And that is something to be watching. In China, southeastern China, extremely wet on what's called the Mayu Front. And that front is putting down between 3 and 10 inches of rain just over the next 8 days. But we always have to look south of Beijing and then north and east of Beijing. And those two regions right now are on the drier side of things as we move forward throughout the rest of the month of July. So watching those areas carefully, but certainly the bigger weather story I think is happening right here in the United States.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions.